This is Franz. Welcome back to the Series 7 podcast. This lesson today is going to be one of the lessons that's included in the full series of audio lessons for the Series 7 Top-Off Study Guide, Audio Lessons for the New Series 7 Exam. I'm going to share this full lesson with you just as one of the sample lessons that you're welcome to listen to. And if you want the full series of audio lessons, please go to the Series7Podcast.com website. That's series with the number 7podcast.com website, and buy the full series of audio lessons. This lesson is going to be about the risks of defined benefit plans. In 2022, the Federal Reserve Board in the United States had decided, after multiple years, basically since 2008, to start raising interest rates. In the lessons where I talk about fixed income investments and I talk about the movement of interest rates, I describe situations in which, instead of making money, you may lose significant amounts on fixed income investments. And I experienced this back in the late 1980s, after I first became a broker. Since then, you really have not seen this situation develop until 2022. So I wanted to talk a little bit more about the risks of defined benefit plans. Remember, there's two types of pension plans: defined contribution plans and defined benefit plans. Very rarely in the private sector, unless it's a old company such as IBM or General Motors or Ford, will you see defined benefit plans in existence anymore. However, if you work in the public sector, they still exist, particularly at the state level and city level. The bottom line is, in the private sector, mostly, companies do not want to take the risks associated with setting up defined benefit plans. Now, let's just talk quickly about what the risks of defined benefit plans are. The risks of a defined benefit plan are multiple. First of all, you have interest rate risks. Interest rate risks are going to affect the fixed income portion of the allocation table of the pension fund. Then you're going to have, of course, stock market risk, equity risk. So the risk of the stock market going down could affect it. Then you have the risk of funding. Are the companies or public entities who make these pension promises funding the defined benefit plan at a high enough level to pay off the future liabilities of the fund? Then the next risk you have is the assumed rate of return in all of the calculations backing up the pension benefit that is projected into the future. And finally, you have management risk. Does the management make mistakes in the allocation of investments, which throws all the other assumptions, such as the rate of return assumptions, out the window? Well, let's talk about what happened in 2022, and particularly what happened in England. Let's go back through history and talk about the scenarios that started to occur. Well, if you go back, since 2008, there's only been a few down years up until 2022. In 2008, the Standard & Poor's was down 38.49%. The next down year was 2015, when the market was down 0.73%. Then 2018, when the market was down 6.24%. And then for 2022, as of October 17th, the Standard & Poor's is down 21.85%. Now, couple that with interest rates, and let's look at what interest rates have done since 2008. In December 2007, the federal funds rate, the Fed funds rate, was at 4.25%. When we had the crash of 2008, the Federal Reserve, by the end of 2008, had lowered the federal funds rate to about 0.25%. It remained there up until about 2019, in that general range, I should say, until the Federal Reserve Board decided to start raising interest rates. And by August of 2019, they had raised interest rates to 2.25%. At that point in time, we had what was called the taper tantrum. Now, coupled with the low interest rates, the Federal Reserve Board during this period of time had entered into what is called quantitative easing. In other words, the Federal Reserve was buying up bonds to effectively lower the interest rates in the market. In other words, they were playing with the scales. These are not market-set interest rates. These are Federal Reserve Board-set interest rates. So by buying bonds out of the market, the Federal Reserve is effectively flooding the economy or flooding the markets with cash. Now, what could companies do with this cash? They could basically go and buy bonds, but bonds were not yielding enough to justify the purchase of bonds, or they could buy equities, where you could go buy equities that paid dividends higher than you could get on federal funds rates. So that is in large part why the stock market was effectively in a boom since 2019, or really since 2008, when the Federal Reserve Board stepped in and started buying bonds. All was going along fine until in 2022, we suddenly had massive inflation. And a lot of this was as a result of the money printing by the Federal Reserve Board, also activities of our Congress, basically spending money we don't have and borrowing money that we don't save for. So the money was worth less because there is more money of it out there. Now, in the pandemic, we basically sent everybody home and continued to pay them, in some cases, more than what they would have made had they gone to work, without the production associated with that work. So what happens if you have fewer goods being chased by more money? Well, it's pretty simple. And if the policymakers didn't see this in advance, then I consider them idiots. Because the value of money is determined by the productive capacity backing up that money. And when you turn off the productive capacity backing up that money and just create more currency units, you are effectively devaluing those currency units, which is another word for inflation. Well, in 2022, the Federal Reserve Board realized they could not keep interest rates artificially low any longer, so they started raising interest rates. And as in the taper tantrum of 2019, the stock market started reacting to it. Stocks started selling off. Also, when you raise interest rates, what happens to a portfolio of fixed income investments? Well, the value of those fixed income investments goes down. So now these defined benefit plans, who have portfolios primarily of fixed income investments, real estate, and equities, are getting hit on all fronts because real estate starts dropping when you raise interest rates because people can't afford the same house that they would have been able to afford under lower interest rates. So the top end of the market starts to dry up, it starts to go down, and it cascades throughout the entire real estate market as a general rule. So that effectively is what's happened in 2022, where pension funds, who are not fully funded to begin with as a general rule, have started seeing significant declines in the value of their portfolios. And this was demonstrated first in England when the pension funds, who had borrowed money against their assets of their funds to buy whatever, whether it was other equities or whether it was to borrow money to pay worker liabilities, in other words, pensions. For whatever reason, these pension funds in England had borrowed significant amounts of money, and what was backing up those loans was gilts, and gilts are the same as treasuries. So these pension funds in Britain had borrowed significant amounts of money against the value of their assets on their balance sheet against the gilts. And what happened? Both the value of the equities in the funds had gone down and the value of the bonds in the funds have gone down, thereby triggering margin calls where the pension funds, to meet these margin calls, were required to sell their most liquid investments, and their most liquid investments would be the gilts, thereby creating a feedback loop. As the value of the gilts go down, they have to sell more gilts to get the same amount of money to meet the margin calls. And the market saw this and started bidding gilts down further, thereby increasing the interest rates on those gilts. So the Bank of England stepped in and said, okay, we're going to buy gilts from the pension plans for a period of a few days to allow the pension funds to meet their margin calls, and we will support the gilts, thereby effectively putting a floor on the gilts for a period of time. The news media did not explain this very well. They just said pension funds are getting margin calls, driving down the price of gilts, and the Bank of England stepped up to buy gilts for a few days so that the pension funds could liquidate enough gilts, basically selling their gilts to the Bank of England, and alleviate the margin calls. All right. Quite a few years ago, I have a client who went to work for Ohio State University. And as part of his employment, he had the opportunity to either take advantage of the state retirement fund, which was a defined benefit fund, or instead take the same amount of money. And this is how I recall it. It may not be exactly how this occurred, but basically, or invest in a equivalent 403B plan, which is the same as a 401K plan, where it's a defined contribution plan. So on one side, he was one of the few people out there, because like I say, the private sector doesn't do this. Only governments and institutions will put out defined benefit plans anymore. And he asked me to look at the two choices and give him some advice. So I did quite a bit of research, and there was no question that his return on the defined benefit plan was much greater than he could project normally with certain assumptions to get from a 403B plan, where he basically manages the investment decisions into that fund. But I spent a little more time looking into the creditworthiness of the Ohio State Pension Fund. And fortunately, they were fairly open with where they stood. And at the time, they were only 70% funded. In other words, they did not have a fully funded pension plan that they would have to add to the pension fund to make it solvent, because they were never going to have enough money as it stood at the time to fulfill the promises that they made to the employees, to the beneficiaries of the pension fund. So I told him, but basically he's better off in the state pension fund, the defined benefit fund, versus the 403B fund, but there were significant risks that they would not be able to deliver on their promises. Well, years have gone by, and I went and looked at it recently, and they had done a pretty good job of reducing that unfunded pension liability from in the 70s to in the low 90s. So they had done a pretty good job of reducing that unfunded pension liability, and he's probably going to be okay. Now, you take a look at the California pension fund system. They are only, in fact, I just looked at it today. So for the California pension fund, which is commonly referred to as CalPERS, in their 2021 report ended June 30th, they were only funded to the tune of 70.6% of their future pension obligations. further looking at the report, you can actually look at the cash flow statement of it, and you can see that they are actually spending more money on an annual basis than they're taking in. This is a huge pension fund, and I doubt if the federal government would let it go under. We would probably see bailouts from the federal government for the state plans. Illinois is even worse off than California. They have significant unfunded pension liabilities in the state of Illinois pension fund. So how does this affect you as an advisor? I'll tell you a situation from personal experience. My wife worked for a hospital. She started working for this hospital many years ago when they actually offered a defined benefit plan. Years later, the hospital tried to entice its employees to give up the defined benefit plan and move to a defined contribution plan. She declined to do that. But at some point in time, the hospital she worked for quit making new contributions into the defined benefit plan and put all future contributions into a defined contribution plan, into a 401k plan. And all new employees who went to work for this hospital were not even given the option of a defined benefit plan. Knowing what I know of the unfunded pension liabilities of the defined benefit plans, when my wife retired, she had the option of sticking with the plan and taking the defined benefit that she had earned over the years, or taking a lump sum distribution. Because I was concerned about the viability of the plan long term, in other words, the ability to make those benefit payments to her over her lifetime, we chose to take a lump sum distribution, roll it into an IRA account, and manage the funds directly. If you are advising clients on what to do, you may want to do some research into the viability of the pension fund that they might have a defined benefit plan in. If I were advising anybody in Illinois, I would have serious reservations about the long-term viability of the pension fund and talk to the client about the choices that they might have. I think we've covered the risks of defined benefit plans in enough detail for you to understand what you're up against. You don't have the same risks in a defined contribution plan because the management does not take on any responsibility for the investment returns in a defined contribution plan, such as a 401k plan. All right, best of luck in your studies.